Savior, we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to and the privilege to come together and to fellowship and to worship your name. We thank you, Lord God, because we are called the children of God. And now as we gather here today on this special day to bless a child and to bless two grown-up young people, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that we are still Hicksville United Methodist Church and we are still doing the work of the Lord. And so now, Lord God, speak a word for us, a word of love and a word of hope, a word of peace, Lord God. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. It is good to be here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. As we gather today, it's always good to baptize a child. It's always such a blessing and to be reminded. And so my sermon title today is simple: Jesus Said, Come. You know, today as we baptize a little girl, I believe her name is Tegan. Tegan Kate, with a C. The hymn is, there's a hymn that is called Child of Blessing, Child of Promise. And the beautiful words go like this. It says, Child of Blessing, Child of Promise, baptized with the Spirit's sign. With this water, God has sealed you unto love and grace divine. Child of love, our love's expression, love's creation, love indeed. Fresh from God, refresh our spirits into joy and laughter lead. Child of joy, our dearest treasure, God's you are, from God you came. Back to God we humbly give you, live as one who bears Christ's name. You know, all children start out that way, don't they? Rich children, poor children, being born into the world, becomes a gift to us, is a gift to us. And for many of us who are Christian believers who are here, we bring our children into church to be baptized. Certainly if we are Protestant or Roman Catholic believers, we bring our babies to be baptized. And it's exciting time. We bring them into the church and we know that they're a gift from God. We want the pastor to bless them and to ask forgiveness of this thing we call original sin. And it's so joyous and wonderful. And today we also bless a couple of young people who have grown up who come to church all the time. And one of them particularly, she has grown up in this church and has been confirmed and continued to be in the church and is now going away to college. And one young man is himself who has finished college. The fourth verse of that song says, Child of God, your loving parent, learn to listen for God's call. Grow to laugh and sing and worship, trust and love more than all. It is a joyous day today. All the hope and our hope and expectations are now in these children, the baby, the one who has grown up. You know, we baptize and we confirm and we hope they come back after confirmation, and it breaks my heart when they don't. And then we see graduation and so on. And we who are Christian believers who follow Jesus Christ make the promise when we baptize our children that we will bring our children up in the church. That we will bring them to Sunday school when the time comes. We will teach them that Jesus loves them and that we will encourage our children to follow Jesus. That's what we do. That's what we are saying yes to the Lord for. It is not just a ritual, in the sense of ritual. We got to get a baptism, we've got to find a church, and we've got to do it, and then that's it. No, we are saying this before God. But then something happens to some of our children along the way. And we no longer see them in church. And we no longer see them when they get to be teenagers and adults and something happens. On Wednesday, July 5th, 2017, the front page article of Newsday said, growing number of districts stop Narcan or Naloxone and they expand training on use. Opiate antidote in Long Island schools. The article goes on to say, school districts on Long Island and statewide are stocking Narcan on site in school building to have the opioid antidote at ready because of the growing issue of abuse of deadly drugs. Educators and officials said they are concerned. At least 340 schools across the state, including dozens on Long Island, have provided training for school nurses or other personnel about how to administer Narcan, according to the state education department. Something has happened. We remember, those of us who are old enough, the young people don't, on June 25, 1962, the United States Supreme Court decided in the Engle versus Vitale that a prayer approved by the New York Board of Regents for the use in schools violated the First Amendment because it represented establishment of a religion. And so, friends, prayer was removed from public schools, and now we are a people who are adding an antidote for the growing issue of drug overdose in school. And so for over 50 years, we tried an experiment. For over 50 years, we took prayer of any form for out of school. And for 50 odd years, we tried it. And what has been the result? Children are dying in school. Children, and now we are replacing it with an antidote that itself probably will get them to be addicted to it, but we're replacing it with something because we believe prayer shouldn't have been in school. A couple of people decided that, and it became the law of the land. Now I know that prayer in school was not hurting anyone. The most it probably would do would be telling you about God. But as Jesus continues to speak to us today, because Jesus has the answer. Now, today, as we look at the school system, we're calling on clergies. They're calling on all of us clergies, Protestant and Roman Catholic alike on Long Island, to get involved. We should get involved in the school system. We should get involved in what can we do now. I've gone to 3 different meetings, and they're asking us, what can you do as clergy? What answer do you have to speak to parents and young people? They're asking us. And what is the answer that they think we have? Jesus, the same Jesus and the same prayer that wasn't good enough 50-something years ago, is the same Jesus and the same prayer that we have. Certainly when they speak to someone like me, who believes that Jesus is the answer, what am I going to tell a young person? The only antidote that I have is Jesus Christ. Jesus was relevant then, and Jesus is relevant now. I told a group that the other night. They want us all to get together. I'm going to another meeting, and I've been to Patchogue, I've been into Huntington and meetings. Clergy are gathering, lay people are gathering, priests, Episcopal priests, Roman Catholic priests, Protestant pastors, and they're saying, what can churches do to help the situation in the school? What can we do? We could give them Jesus. As a Christian, I can give them Jesus. The gospel story today reminds us what Jesus said then, 2,000 years ago, still holds now. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus was speaking to people who was in trouble. In Rome in that time, the people were under a lot of pressure. They were under Roman captivity, and they were also under heavy burden from the Pharisees and the Sadducees' law. The average person during that time was having their own trials and trouble. And as Jesus begins to speak, he speaks to his disciple, and he speaks to us today, he said to them, and this is my encouragement for the young family who's coming up with her, with their two children today, and the young people going away to college. Jesus says, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so Jesus' message stands today. And what Jesus says in this message is that as he invites us to come to him, as he invites the young people, and I really want the young people who are going away to college to remember this. He doesn't say that you're not going to have problems and trials and tribulations. Life comes with problems. It is life. This is just the way it is. But he says you could always what? Come to me. He invites us to come to him. And in order for you to come to Jesus, you've got to know about Jesus. In order for you to know that you could go to him and ask him for help, you have got to know him. My next point on that is that Jesus recognizes the busyness of our lives and how we are overburdened with trials and struggles. But he draws us into loving relationship with him. Jesus wants us to come to him. Jesus desires that. So what am I going to tell a young person when we have these listening, they're calling listening posts that we'll be having in different churches and places where we'll be listening to parents who are going through. And I want to say something. None of us are distant from this situation. It can happen to any family. Money cannot do it. We have tried giving our children cell phones and iPhones and all they need and all the best clothes and all the everything to soothe their lack of self-esteem. We have given it all to them. And we forget to tell them about Jesus if we have baptized them as Christians and says, yes, Lord, here is my child. We forget to let them know that we can pray to God. Some of us don't pray with our children. We don't pray at dinner. We don't pray in our house. They don't even know how we got over. How did you get over, get through your circumstance? How did you get over, as we would say? We forgot to tell them. We pretend that we did it all by ourselves, that we're big super people, that we don't weep, we don't have problems, we don't have anxiety, we don't have self-esteem issue. We forgot to be real to our children. We have given them a GPS that doesn't really work for them. We have given them a global positioning system that is ruining their lives. It is taking them on a detour, right, that they get stuck and there's nothing there. Well, today I want to propose to you, friends, that we have to recalculate. We have to recalculate our GPS. You know when you get lost, when you're in a car, church, and you put your GPS on? I know some people are shaking their head. Happens to us all the time. Happens to me that I don't even put it on sometimes. And I'm going, they tell me to go out to Long Island, go out east to go look for someone, and I end up at another place, and I says, how am I in this town? What is this town? How did I get there? I've lost track, and I have to recalculate. We are now trying to recalculate and redo our GPS to get our children on track. Because the GPS that we, the grown-ups, have handed them have not been good. Are they bad kids who take drugs? Yes, we know that. But majority of these kids are suffering from all kinds of ills. They watch television. They're told this. They're told they should be 100 pounds because if they're 150, something is wrong with them. If they're 102, something is wrong. They're told that. They're told they have to be like that person or that person. They have to look this way. Everything has been stacked against them. No, you all don't even know the story how I feel about some of these proms from high school. I put such stress on young people. And God forbid you're a young child who cannot afford to get the right outfit for prom. Could you imagine how that child feels? Well, what are we going to tell them? Paul tells us in his story today, he says, Paul, who has followed Jesus Christ, he himself said, the things I want to do, I don't do. Paul, we read Paul all the time. Paul was saying, sin is like that. Mistakes are like that. He says, I know what I should do, but even I don't do the things that I ought to do. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, but thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so today I want to propose something that I would like to share with the young folks, with all of us here, as we think through what we must tell our children. I know it's baptism. I'm not going to stay too long. I know.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I know. I was just waiting for you. Right? And so we want to be able to remind the young people that Jesus says come. That even when you can't be there as a parent, you know, we're not going to be with them all the time. I don't care what you do. You could lock them in the house. You could keep them there and you let them not leave and you stay with them. One day they're going to leave and then they're going to bust out. We know what happens when we bust out when we get to college. And all the things we couldn't do, we just get wild. You all know. I mean, I know. You see young people, these grown-ups, don't pretend. Don't. Sometimes you ask them, you know, a young person told me, ask his dad, Dad, did you try pot? And the father says, oh, no. The mother came into the room and says, tell him the truth. We took pot together. Right? So, you know, sometimes they need to know that we're vulnerable, that we do things that we ought not to, and that there's hope. If it's hope for us, it's hope for them. Right? That Jesus forgave us. Jesus is still with us. We have got to be able to let them know that Jesus is a forgiving and loving Jesus. He's a forgiving and loving Savior, and that's why he says, come to me. Because he never remembers what we have done when we ask for forgiveness. He never brings it up again. You know what I mean, young people, folks. You know, I bring up things all the time with my daughter, and I'm trying to forget, but I'm getting old, I'm forgetting. But we do that. But there are things. What am I going to tell a young person when I go to these listening? I only have the Bible. I only know about Jesus Christ. I could only give them my experience. And I could go to the Word and I could say to a young person, you know, there's a scripture that says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know all of us are fearfully and wonderfully made? No matter what we look like, no matter how big or small we are, no matter what color we are, the psalmist says, because he knew us before we were created in our mother's womb. God does. And no matter what you are or who you are, who you look like, God loves you. Because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what young people need to hear. No matter what you do, you put one, you know, ring in your nose, who cares? I don't want you to be piercing your body, but it don't matter because you could take it out and the hole fills up. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God has made you fearfully and wonderfully. Marvelous are his works, and this we know so well. And then there's another scripture that says, can a mother forget her young, whom she suckles at her breast? Though she may, I will never forget you. Want to be able to tell a young person, God will never forget you. He says, because I have inscribed you in the palm of my hands. He has inscribed us in the palm, each and every one of us, in the palm of his hands. He'll never forget you. They need to know that. Friends will forget them and reject them, but their God will never forget. He says, see, I've engraved you. Your walls are ever before me. That means you, your very makeup is ever before me. Is that what I'm going to tell them? Yes. And there's another scripture that says, call on me and I'll answer. Call on me and I'll answer and I'll show you new and mighty things. He says, while you're thinking it, I know it. And before you could speak it, I will answer it, God says. I will answer it. Young people, call on me
Even when you go out one night and you go partying and you get drunk, if you call on him, he's still going to answer. There is no condition to his love. No condition. It is unconditional love. And then in Jeremiah it says, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you." That's the plan he has for you, Emily. Plans to prosper you and never to harm you. To give you a future with hope. How many young people want to hear that today? That they could have a future with hope. Because Jesus loves them. Not what the world says. And finally, and he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it into completion. God began a good work in us when he created us. And we fall down, as the songwriter says, Donnie McClurkin, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. And we get up together. And I want to tell the school system that made that allowed, and the government, they'd better start getting some prayers back in school. Christian prayer, Hindu prayer for the Hindus, whatever, who everybody could pray what they need, but certainly we need to get something back in school, because that antidote they're giving them don't last. They get it, 2 weeks later, they're back. They need something that is going to last. It is heart-wrenching and heartbreaking to see what is happening to our young people. And we better give them something that will last for eternity. We need to find a way to do that. And unless we reverse, you know, things can be reversed. We're worried about reversing all kinds of other things. We better reverse this ruling and get prayer back into school. And do not wait till we get to this time to say, "Oh, clergy, what can you do? Can you now help?" For over 50 years, they have tried an experiment on our children. That's what happened. Over 50 years, it was an experiment that failed. Because taking out of school is a failed experiment, because kids are drugs in school, guns in school, and are dying. So today on this baptism, I'm hoping and praying by the time this baby gets to go to high school, prayer will be back in school. For those who want to pray. And those who don't want to pray, don't pray. Because we need something better that will last forever. Amen.